impossible. Only Jesus I believe. Oh, Jesus is here. Jesus is here. All things are possible. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Prisoner's chain with bleed and stripes, Paul and Silas pray at night, and in their pain be sing. Their chains were loose and they were free. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you. Morning, I bless your name. Some midnight hour, if you should find you're in a prison in your mind, reach out and praise. Oh, what a promise. Defy those chains and they will fall in Jesus. Oh, there's power in that name this morning. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor, oh, I give you my praise. You are the life, the truth, the way. I bless your name. I bless, let's sing that last verse again. Some midnight hour, if you should find you're in a prison in your mind, reach out and praise. Defy. Praise him. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor. I give you praise. You are the life, the truth, the way. bless your name. I bless. Let's all stand as Brother Colley comes this morning. Sing it to him. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you.
All as we gather together to worship in his holy name. Amen. We're going to read this morning Psalm 66. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful and thankful that you have given us a desire in our heart, Lord, to come together to worship. Father, we pray that we will learn more about you, Lord, and grow closer to you from the words that we hear and that we read, Lord Jesus. So we ever ask you to lead us and to guide us into truth and understanding. Father, we can see the wickedness in this world, but Lord, let us not look to the wickedness. Father, let us look to your Holy Spirit and your word, God, and guide and bless us. And we thank you for all things, wherever we are, whatever we're doing, Father, let us do it according to your will and your way. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Psalm 66. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works, though the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee.
All the earth shall worship thee, and shall sing unto thee, and shall sing unto thy name.
Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doing toward the children of men. He ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the nation. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves, Selah.
O bless our God, the people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard.
Which holdeth our souls in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. Thou broughtest us into the net, thou layest afflictions upon our lungs.
Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads, we went through the fire and through the water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place.
I will go unto thy house with burnt offering, I will pay thee my vows. I will offer unto the burnt sacrifice of fatlings, which the incense of rams. I will offer bullocks unto to goat, with goats. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. But verily, God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be the Lord God, turn away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Amen. God bless you. Be seated.
Amen. How wonderful it is to read the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Brother Marco, would you come this morning and take up the tithes and offering? Yes. Let's turn to page 87 in the Spiral Songbook, if you have that near you. And then I'd like to sing a chorus after that. I didn't get the chance to get the words on the screen. It's kind of a new chorus. It's called He Is Our Peace in the same key. Maybe we could sing it a couple of times and we'll learn it as a congregation. Amen. Have you heard the trumpet of the Lord this morning? Are you there to respond to the call? Hallelujah. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather on the other shore, and the roll is caught up yonder, I'll be there. Morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise and the glory of His resurrection share, when His chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the sky and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Oh, when the roll is called up yonder, setting sun, let us talk along His wondrous love and care. When all this life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Oh, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, down every wall. He is our peace. He is our peace. Oh, He is our peace. Who has broken down every wall? All your cares, so cast all your cares on Him.
beautiful? Let's just sing it together. He is our peace, who has broken down every wall. He is our peace. He is our peace. Oh, he's Jehovah Shalom. He is our peace, who has broken down every wall. He is our peace. He is our peace. So cast all your cares. Stand and just sing it to him once more. Oh, he is our peace, who has broken down every wall. He is our peace. Oh, he's here to give you peace this morning. He is our peace. He is our that is broken down every wall. He is our peace. He is our peace. So cast all your cares on him, for he cares.
Reminds me of the scripture in Isaiah that said, he gives peace to the mind and hearts who stayed upon him. So cast all your cares on him, for he does care for us. Hallelujah. Let's change the order of the service as our brother comes out this morning.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see.
and you'll find him. Amen. Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to 2 Corinthians 5, and then we'll go to Hebrews 10. 2 Corinthians 5, Hebrews 10. Remember, Brother Bob is up, I think, with Brother Kershane's preaching this weekend, and Brother Luis is interpreting. Brother Tony, so they're both tied up today, so let's keep them in your mind. Brother Bob will be ministering, to Lord willing, this coming Wednesday, so we get all of those things on the right way. Let's see. Yeah, I'd ask you, we were listening to a tape the other night, and it really fits the parts that I'm trying to bring. And if you would either read or listen to the prophet's message on who is this Melchizedek, you'll find the very wordings of things, not necessarily that I picked them out of that message, but, you know, you will find a lot of the things that we're talking about. So, you know, do that and study that just a little bit, all right? Let's see, anything else? We got the announcements about the Valentine's for next week, this coming Saturday. And, we've got the, all right, yeah. We're going to just ask you if you want to. I know we're a little tight in the way we're trying to do, in the services, but, we just ask you if you want to, do you want to just have a vote on it and remove the blue tape? And that way you can spread a little bit more, you know, and not be so tight. We still want to stay separated as much as possible, and also to make sure and wear our mask, you know, in the services and the things here and while you're here at the church and all, because that's taking care of us. So just remember that. I talked to Brother Ultig this week. He has the virus, and he's doing better, so just keep praying for him and to do it, and many others are doing it. So remember that. Let's see, there's something else I was going to try to remember. I'll think of it when I get into the message. But I lost some memory yesterday because I met head-on with a 2x6, and it won, you know. So that was, you know, I shouldn't have been trying to move it right where it was at, but I tangled up in some twine that was on the ground and went head-first into a 2x6. Of course, you'd never notice it. You know, that's what you want to make sure. They told me, said, you make sure and tell them what happened, you know. We don't want nobody thinking they were here beating me up, you know. But that'd be the doing. But just thank God that he did take care of me, because it could have been worse if something would have been there, you know. The 2x6 was bad, but if they'd have been nails or something there. The Lord takes care of us in all that we're doing, okay? 2 Corinthians 5, and then we'll go to Hebrews. Did you, are everybody in favor of removing the things to where we can spread out a little bit? Well, okay, that would be the majority of the people. That way we can spread out a little bit, a little better, and have more seating capacity. But just remember, still, don't pack up. That's the point that we're driving at, that we've been driving at, is to have you to move a little further apart where it wouldn't be so much. You're setting for the time, and we are talking about now on down a little bit further. Maybe we'll pick up the Sunday school for the children and things, you know, and begin to get a few things back in. But now we're not, we're not ruling people with what they're trying to do in this. If you want to go down in the basement, you feel free to go and watch it there, you know, and do the things and all of that. Now, I was asked about this, taking these shots and things for this virus. I'm not going to tell you not to take it, but I'm not going to tell you to take it. I'm going to let you leave it up to yourself. That's because that would be the point. You say, well, I have to. Well, then all right. But I'm saying it this way. We have had plenty of viruses before that we had to take. Polio, smallpox, measles. We've had to take those things. I see nothing wrong. If I did, I would tell you I see nothing wrong with taking these shots. but it's still left up to you to do that. It may be mandatory in your job, something that you're doing or whatever may be mandatory. It may be mandatory for all of us before long. All right, then we do what we've got to do. We're just trying to get by while we're here and not be to, well, you got to do this, you got to do that. Well, we don't think you got faith. Don't get into all of that. Don't get into those things, you know, talking about if somebody takes the shot, they ain't got faith. Well, did you take the polio? Did you take smallpox? Did you take any of those? No, just don't do that. Just be what we are. We are the body of Christ, and we're praying, and we pray to do. Now, I do say for you to do one thing. I've always said this. Now, if you go to our house, and we've got a medicine cabinet thing, right, as you start out the back door, and you know what's in there? Our medicines and things. But you know what's in that? It's prayer cloths stuck on the wall or laid in there of the cabinets. I tell you to, anytime you get a medication, pray that God would sanctify that. What's the problem? Why can't we do that? Ask him to turn it around. Brother Collie's wife, she had a thing years ago, and they took out her pituitary, or how you pronounce it, gland or whatever, and she got to getting sicker. So she asked me about it. I said, well, let's just pray that God will turn that thing around and make it to where it'll be right. Well, you know what? We prayed in just a few days. You know what they done? They took her off of the medication. That was a medication she was told she would have to take the rest of her life, because you got to have the gland to produce the insulins for the body some way. All right. But just keep those things in mind and also, you know, that we'll do it, okay? Anybody with any comment about it? Sister Trudy?
I had the first shot yesterday, and I feel fine today. It's just sore right where they put it in.
Uh-huh.
I'm fine.
Yeah. Well, that's all right. So you do whatever you're led to do, and don't worry about nobody else. If somebody else don't want to take it, that's fine. If you want to take it, that's fine. Because you just think about how many shots you've gotten that your children take that you don't want to take, you know. And I'll tell you that the doctor told me, he said, Sam, at your age and you've been in that hospital 5 days, said there ain't no telling what they gave you. Said it may take a long time to get that out of your system. Well, that's all, you know. They're trying. They're practicing medicine. But see, you just don't know what's going on. So we just trust God. And thank him for being with us, right? Okay. All right. Father, just be with us in your loving grace and all that we do here. We commit it to you and believing that you'll take care of us. Now just open the word unto us this day that we may walk in the light of your grace. Forgive our sins and lead us. Be with the sick, Lord. All among us, there's many sicknesses, many things that are happening, but Lord, just be with each one. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, 2 Corinthians 5. We'll start reading about verse 16. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. What? After the flesh. We know him by the Holy Spirit. We know him by the new birth. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Give it now on down to us, to understand that God was in Christ. What is the ministry of reconciliation? That God was in Christ. Right? Reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. All right? Now, let's stop there, and then we'll go to Hebrews. We're going to try to get to this today if we can. Hebrews 10, verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with these sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshiper once purged should have had no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices, see, in that Old Testament things and all, in those sacrifices, it couldn't take away, couldn't make it right. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, now something's fixing to take place. Wherefore, when he, who? Jesus Christ cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now we were trying in our last message to cover some things and review backwards and forth, and we continually do those things. But I would ask you if you would, if you just want something to see where we're going and what we're doing, get the message of who is this Melchizedek. And just listen to it. And you'll hear the very words that I use, because that's where I got it from. All right? Not say necessarily go into a word for word thing, but I do read a lot of quotes. And I'm sorry today about the quotes. I messed up and left some at home from the notes, so I didn't have time to rerun once I found out what was going on. I didn't have time to rerun some of it. So if you want to take the quotes and the things for today, let me know. I'll be glad to run them off and give them to you. But some of you got them. I know that. All right. But now think about what we're trying to do. We're talking about the revealing of Almighty God. God made plain, you know, by the things that we see, even the eternal Godhead is made plain by what we see. We see a human being. We see a father, a son, a human, a person, a doing, and we can see those attributes and see that it's in God. And bringing it down to us that we can see those things, you know, all right? And we'll do that, and we're trying to pick that up then. The Godhead made plain or clear to us. We went through the before the foundation of the world, the things of God coming into being, you know, and stepping forth and revealing himself to mankind. Then we brought it in to Adam and them and bringing it down. And then our last couple of messages has centered coming down to Jesus Christ. All right? And as we read here in the scripture about it, he said, a body thou hast prepared. All right? Now, that's what I want you to think about today. I want you to listen what the prophet is saying and think about how clear God is making himself known through the prophet's message. All right? And we can read it and study it and see that it's just clear and plain if we'll just believe it that way and accept it and not worry about it. And we can, you know, try to cover the things. Like I said, we covered before the foundation of the world. Then we come on up. Now we've kind of got over into the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? And knowing that the world, as we read, would be reconciled by him, all right? Because that would be the message he would bring, redemption, you know, Wade preaching on redemption, you know, the things and all of that, and these other brothers have been preaching on it good, so I hope you listen to the things. But bringing forth the redemptive plan and seeing that it's coming down to you and me now, all right? We covered it coming into the Lord Jesus and the things, and now it's come to us. We'll try to pick that up in the message more today, all right? But we covered how that God is making himself clear. and plain. See? He's not trying to hide it. It's hidden from the wise and prudent, but revealed to the bride of Christ. What? Even the eternal Godhead can be made known unto us, the scripture says, by the things that we see. So, you go through what the prophet is saying. He said, you're a father, you're a son, you're a human, you're this, you're that. You got many manifestations and all that. But said it's all bringing it back to see the one person. All right. Now, today we're going to be dealing with the body of Christ. All right. And dealing with that, the body that was prepared or fixed. And we know that God created that body. All right. He created that body through the virgin birth and the things. We can go through all of that, and we know that fits in good and comes out. And as it does, we can see the things are. And then seeing that he come to live in that body. He prepared it. He didn't create it like we. We've spent a lot of time talking about that, right? We think about that he created a body. He didn't necessarily create a body. He brought it forth by the virgin birth. See? And the scripture would call it the only begotten. He was the only one begotten that way. Right? He was the only one with a virgin birth. He was begotten. Whereas Adam was created a full-grown man standing there, Jesus had to come as a baby to be begotten. But it would provide a body, okay? Now we'll get into these things as we're going along. And he said, now these tabernacles that you're building and things, they're okay. You know, everybody want to build a tabernacle, want to do something. He said, that's fine. But he said, I don't dwell in that. I don't dwell in buildings and houses made by man. He said, I dwell in a body. And see, that was his purpose of wanting to do that, not to set up in a building and let us come around and worship him, you know, back there or any time, but to try to get us to see who he is and what he's doing. And he's revealing himself. All right? Reconciling or redeeming the world to himself. All right? And as he's doing that, it was necessary that he would come into the world the way he came. As I was saying a minute ago, you know, he wasn't created as we think of. He was begotten. He was brought into being by the new birth or by a birth. We have to take a new birth to become parts of the body of Christ. All right. But he was the Almighty God. We'll get back to some of this a little later. And he was the, according to the Bible, he was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All right. Then you got all the statements you want that Brother Branham, I don't know how many you'd have, but how many you want, where he said all God was, he poured into Christ. All Christ he pours into the church and take her back to the Garden of Eden. Huh? Then he would say it another way. All God was, he poured into Christ. All Christ into the church. The fullness. We'll get back. I've got those notes and the things laying at the house ready for to bring forth the things. And that's what I'm saying. If you'll listen somewhere in those series, if you'll go in the series where he was preaching at the tabernacle when marriage and divorce was preached, it's like five messages. He really brings in the understanding of the Godhead and makes it real clear throughout those series. Then he preaches marriage and divorce, the greatest of all messages that he ever brought. But the other was a background. See, we don't look at Brother Branham a lot of times what he's doing. I look at something and I said, all right, now what's the background? See, when he come forth to preach the seals, he didn't just come into the tabernacle and say, I'm going to preach the first seal. No. He preached what? God in simplicity. one true and living God, brought it down through the ways and all through the Bible, up and down, and then he preached the breach, which would show what would stand between mankind and an almighty God would have to be the Savior, Jesus Christ. See, he lays a background a lot of time. And if you'll notice his messages, especially in the series where he's preaching in one place, you'll see him do it. He'll be, he'll background so much until you're not getting a lot of the message over this way because he's backgrounding what he said back here. But he knows if you don't get what he said, then you won't get what he will say. So he wants it to be put into that order, all right? Now, then thinking about it, a body. You realize what I'm trying to say. We go through the Godhead and the understanding and thinking. But you see, God is not perfect. We've been through that, right? Without Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Takes that to make God complete. You're not complete without body, spirit, soul, etc. Because you're an example. So you can see the eternal Godhead. And what is the eternal Godhead? Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Can be seen or understood by the things that we live, our lives, and all of the happening, and the grass, the trees, the things, you know. And we can see every bit of that. All right? Then see, doing that, then we can follow it and see what he's trying to do is make himself known. Because that was his purpose in the beginning, was to make himself known to the one that he created. All right? See, then we fouled it up, got into all the other things and all, but yet he's still coming back in the end time to try to bring that back. All right? I'll say it like he said it. When he talks about it, watch this, when he speaks of the goodness of the Godhead bodily. You ever noticed him say this? He said, couldn't do it in the days of Luther. Well, God was there. He was with them and giving them a new birth. He said, couldn't do it in Wesley. He said, couldn't do it in Pentecost. He said, but it's now. See, now is the time to come forth of the understanding of all things to where we can follow that. Because what do you think it's going to do? Are we going to expect to go out of here in a change of the body one day when we just haphazardly float along? Just, you know, just, oh, we're going to make it one day. No. We better be serious. These things are just play pretties that's going on now. I've told you that to start with. I see these viruses and things like that. What's a virus got to do with salvation? But see, they will use those things eventually against us. Yes, but it has nothing to do with, they're not trying to teach you a Trinity in a virus. When you go down and take a shot, you automatically get to Trinity. Boy, that'd be something, wouldn't it? I don't want the Trinity. You know, I certainly don't want no shot to give it to me. But think about it, see. Just think seriously about what we've tried to bring. We went through the part of before the foundation world and bringing him down as to being the creation, standing there in the world, the great creator, the almighty God, the word that would create all things. And now we're coming into a point that he creates a body. All right? See, bringing that body into existence to where he could dwell in it. Right? Do you realize then that he was not complete until that body came into existence? I have no problems with the brothers years ago preaching those River Jordans and things. If they'd have just held it to the right point, if they'd have just kept it on down to where that you can see, and I have no trouble with the oneness people that he's, they believe that Jesus was the last immorphy of God. I don't agree with that. I believe the bride of Jesus Christ is the last immorphy of God. See? All right. See, then I'm just me, and that's what I believe because I can stay with the word with it. All right. And see, without a body, God is not complete. All right. You say, well, what did he need a body for? He needed a body to display his attributes. Right? Adam came along and made a way through God making him a body to where that sin would come into existence, and that he would, you know, use that to where that he could bring forth his attributes. Huh? So God is not complete without it being Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Body, spirit, soul. Alright? See, then, by being the body, he needed a body to step into. Because he wanted to fellowship with his people. He doesn't want to, now listen to what I'm saying. He didn't want in the Old Testament to set up on a platform, you know. And they come in and bow down, oh God, we love you, and then turn away. He didn't want that. Neither does he want to sit in any kind of building now.
Right. That's right.
Not something made by man.
Right.
We'll get to it at the last of the message. If we don't, I'll get to it later. To where that when it comes to the point, see, now is when he's getting his complete plan. That's why I said he couldn't do it in Luther, couldn't do it in Wesley, couldn't do it in Pentecost. Now he can come forth in the fullness of the Godhead bodily in the bride of Jesus Christ. Now don't worry about it. Don't think, well, Brother Dale, I just don't agree with that. Well, just go ahead. I've been preaching it for 50 years, so don't worry about it. I ain't going to change. What I mean is by it, I believe 50 years ago that the bride would be the fullness of the Godhead bodily because the prophet said it. I still believe that. If you don't believe it, that's up to you. Huh? See, that's where the whole catch is. We're looking for something else instead of looking to ourselves to see where God is dwelling within us. He didn't want to sit back there and say, oh, children, I love you. He doesn't want to do that now. He wants to live in his people. He's not satisfied without being able to live in his people. Not to just live with his people. With is fine, but that's not the whole point. He wants to live in you and me. Because I'll give them to you when I get there to it. I've got about, it's either 7 or 8 times where he says, the bride is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Well, if you don't believe that, that's up to you. That's just telling you what I believe the prophet said, and I can show it by what he said. It ain't something, a doctrinal thing, you know, well, they got one quote. Well, I don't care if I just got one quote, I'm still happy with it. Because I believe the quote's right, you know what I mean? And if I just got one to prove it with, then how much do I need? I don't mind putting it in plain language. We should be able to accept the message of the hour today over basically when we come into the message, because we were just studying it. We were just looking at it. We were trying to comprehend it. But now it's opening up. But see, are you worried about storms and viruses and stuff like that? You better be worried about what somebody's teaching you and understanding of the Godhead. I don't mind putting it that way. You better be scared. You better check out what is being said to you by me. By these brothers. Check out what they're saying. Why? Because we don't want to be deceived. Huh? Well, I ain't going to be deceived. I'm born again. Well, I hope you finally get on to one thing. You say, well, we couldn't do this, couldn't do that. I tried to prove a point to you back there. Adam was eternal life in his soul.
Right. Amen.
Eve was eternal life in her soul.
Amen.
The prophet said it.
Yep.
You know what? They fell.
Yep.
They didn't die and go to hell, no. They fell from coming to where they should have come. That's the thing setting before you and me, is to come to the position, the situation, to where we can walk right into the Word and say, thank you, Lord.
Yes.
That bang hit my head. I got up. I said, thank you, Lord. Well, I'm still alive. At least I thought I was. You know. Yeah, I'm happy about what God is doing. And I was happy years ago about it, and I'm more happy now because I'm beginning to see more light. That's what we're looking for, because that's what's going to change these bodies, is the revealed word.
Amen.
What else is it going to be? You tell me what it is. It's the revealed word.
Yes.
It's going to change you and me. But it's got to be to the basis. You remember the other weakness, right? It's got to be to the basis when we get down to the basis of saying, by his stripes I'm healed.
Yes.
By justification, same case in baptism, I'm saved.
Yes.
We've got to make a statement.
Yes.
A commitment and hold it at that.
Yes.
With the mouth, confession is made. With the heart, man believes.
Yes.
We've got to put that down into the right place and get it to where we can not be afraid. If you're afraid, then you need something to comfort. That's the only thing that I've said to you about the church now. I ain't said a word about anybody that didn't come or don't come. But if you're willing to go out in this world and go to Walmart every other day and go shopping and all like that, but you can't come to church. Now, don't talk to me like that. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to condemn you. I think our first purpose in life should be one thing. The serving of the Lord Jesus Christ is our God and Savior. That should be the first thing in our life. The rest of it fits in there. Okay. All right. Get on with it, brother. Okay. Come on. Listen. All right. Let's just read some things. Because I want to let you read what your prophet says about the fact that God had to have a body to come and dwell in to make him complete. To make him come into the way he wanted to come. He loved coming down with Adam and Eve in the garden. Is that the way the prophet said? He'd come down and talk to them. Children, have you had a good time today? He wanted to fellowship with them. Huh? And even after sin entered the picture, it didn't take away his desire to fellowship with his people. He never condemned Eve. He never condemned Adam. Come on, I'm quoting Brother Branham. He condemned the serpent. He condemned the earth and things like that, but not Adam and Eve. Why? How could he condemn them if they had eternal life in their soul? True. If they had eternal life in their soul, how could he condemn them? Because he's the one that gave them eternal life. He can't give you eternal life and condemn you. Sure, he can tell you you're wrong. He can tell you off. He can, you know, he can hit us in the head with a 2x4. He can do all them things. But he still ain't going to turn you down. Right? Because you're sealed in. You say, well, then I'll just go out and live like that. That proves you're not sealed in. You say, I'll just go live like, you know, I can just, it don't matter what I do. Oh, you're going to get a whooping. I'm talking about a child now. I'm not talking about people that are sinners that are not born again. I'm talking about the children of God's going, when God's going to whip. He chastens his children. If he could turn around about correcting a child and say, beat a child, it won't die. How much more should he be able to beat me and you? And us come up saying, thank you, Lord. I love you. I'm glad you thought enough of me to put that there and let me come forth. Now just help me through the next one. You know. All right. Let's get started and read some. Go ahead with number one, brothers. We'll read these and just, because I want you to listen to what your prophet is saying. And by all of these, be able to at least believe that God dwelt on earth in a body. The body wasn't just something thrown in haphazard. It was perfect. But yet because it was brought into being, it was a temporal body. So it had to be redeemed. Not redeemed because it was sinful. No. But because it was not eternal.
That's right.
All right. See, then he would need the redemptive part of the body to be able to come forth, but not to the point to where that he's trying to, well, let's read. Listen, there's only one way of provided by God. He was God's word made manifest. He was God's promise vindicated. He was God in a flesh form. The Bible said that. God was in Christ. That great Jehovah that created heaven and earth was made manifest in a body. The Lord Jesus Christ. And in that one man, he could achieve. Right, there's something dotted out. I don't know. Till he tried it, though. Through Moses. He tried it through Moses. He tried it through Jacob. He tried it through Joseph. But they couldn't come forth. But he come in the fullness of the God, of the man Christ. He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Right. See, that can take what these couldn't do.
Amen.
What Moses couldn't do, what this one couldn't do, what me and you couldn't do. Amen. You say, well, I think I can handle it myself. You're in bad shape.
Amen.
No. I'd rather be a failure than try to think I'm doing it myself. But listen. He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily, where God could express himself. And he said, who can accuse me of sin? Sin is unbelief. If I haven't done exactly what the scripture said I would do, then who can condemn me and say where I failed in one way? God's provided way. Listen, church. A body was brought into being. A body was brought into being. It was not eternal because it had a beginning. What do you think about that? You think about these words that we use a lot of times that the prophet says like that, he was the fullness of the Godhead bodily and things. They can read the Bible because the Bible said it. We read you a couple of quotes. You can read the Bible that says he's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All right. But what did we think about that as Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterian, Pentecostals, etc.? What did we think about it? I don't see how that could be. Oh, you say, but I believe that then. Well, what's our trouble now? He didn't change. But you say, well, I think that he might be the second person or the third, but he's not all of it. Well, then where are you going? Where's your Bible? What are you talking about? See, you're listening to the devil's lie, and then you go to the people of this message. And the preachers of this message are preaching a doctrinal issue just about that way, that he wasn't God till the River Jordan. Well, Brother Dale, you just said a while ago that he wasn't a fullness. There's a lot of difference in fullness and what it is. What I'm saying that he was not the fullness till the River Jordan was he couldn't make manifest. He couldn't die for your sins as a baby. He couldn't pay the price as a child. He couldn't do those things. He had to wait till the come to that anointing came on him on the River Jordan. And when the anointing came on him, then there he was, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You say, well, what was he for then? He was God Almighty in human flesh. But he was not to that position that he wanted to be. That anointing would come on, and that's why they couldn't kill him. And the prophet said the anointing left him. It had to leave him. You couldn't kill him. See, that body was made for the purpose of death.
Yes.
That's right. You say, well, you mean God died? No. God, the eternal Elohim, self-existing, all-knowing, wise God, didn't die. But the body was capable and did die for our sins. But while he was here in this world, that was his tabernacle. That was his tabernacle. While he was dwelling here in this world. Now, after his tabernacle was complete and finished, now we're his tabernacle. Is there any problem with that? We are now his tabernacle. If not, where's he at? Well, he's over yonder now. No. He's got to have it. That's why when you read that scripture, it says, a body thou hast prepared me. We ain't going to get there with this, but we're going to read where the prophet says that you are the body. That God now dwells in. Are we going to believe it? Or are we going to just go, watch what he says on this one. Go to the next one. On the message called a paradox. He said God was a paradox. Why? Because it's just impossible to be what he wound up being. How God could become man to die? God, life, eternal life, couldn't become God, natural life, to die. Listen now. To save man, to bring them back to eternal life. He couldn't come, the eternal God couldn't step down and become just flesh. Become just man. He had to be able to condescend. He came himself. Let me put it where the prophet said it. He said he never sent a son. He came himself. He stepped down into human flesh. And there was no way that could kill that human flesh till that anointing left that body. Then once it left, they could kill the body. Why? Because he would be willingly giving it up. All right, so listen to what he's saying. That was a paradox, how that the great God that filled all space and all eternity could come down and be a man in order to die to save his own creation. Is that enough? Let him rest. How God became one of his own creation to save, because he created his own body. Jehovah the Father dwelt in fullness in Jesus Christ, his Son. Jesus was the body of God. God was represented in the tabernacle of the flesh of Jesus Christ. And how that one of that filled all space and all eternity become one man. Amen. You see what I mean? And that God could do that to die. And oh, that was a paradox in itself. How he could make himself that way in order to suffer death for the whole human race. He had to exit the body. You say, well, what happened to him? He had to exit the body. The God that stepped into the body as a baby, right? As a baby, he stepped into a human body. All right? That one day that God had to exit that body to let that body pay the price. You say, yeah, but Brother Dale, Brother Branham, we use the word Son of God a lot. Amen. We just read one where he called him the Son of God. But he don't call him God the Son. Right? He called him Son of God. Because that's what he was. God was in Christ reconciling the world. God came down and stepped into that human vessel. All right? See, now I don't mind preaching it and letting you ask questions. I don't mean to say I know everything, but I know one thing for sure. When we get to glory, you ain't going to see a father and a cloud and a puff and a this and that or the other. You're going to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Standing there in the human body that he dwelt on earth in, and he will never again leave that body. There's no way to separate him. All we got to do is find out how we can come into the basis of being his body here now, because he needs a body. Did the prophet say it? We gave it the other week where Brother Brown said that God is not complete without you. He's not complete without his offspring. That's his children. We are the offspring according to the book of Acts. And when Paul said, to Mars Hill, he said, when I come along, I found an inscription out there to the unknown God. He said, he's the one I want to talk to you about. He said, I want to tell you about him. You ever thought about it? Now listen, I'm going to say something. Now let me say it this way before you won't forget it. He's got to call you before you can come, right? Now that scripture, he's got to call you before you can come. Okay, keep that in your mind and don't lose that point. He's got to call you. Okay, now you tell me that you walk up like Paul and you walk up on Mars Hill and they got insignias to every kind of a God could be thought of. And he looks over and he sees one that says, to the unknown God. He said, they don't know nothing about him. So I'll just use that. I'll use that. He didn't say God was sitting there. He didn't say that was God. He said, I'm going to use their illustration. And he preached Jesus Christ. Now you think about it. Somebody just walk up to you on the street somewhere. They won't talk to you about Jesus Christ. Well, now in America, we basically, everybody's heard the name. But what about a foreign country where they ain't even never heard of a name Jesus? And you're going to talk to them about Jesus. He ain't going to do you no good if God ain't calling. Did you get it? He ain't going to do you no good unless God's calling him first. Well, when he puts on your burden on your heart to you go talk to somebody, you go. Because that means he's working on both ends. He's calling. He'll take care of it. But you just think about it. You just think about it. You just walk down the street and here's a bunch of old drunks and kooks and everything in the world. And you say, I want to talk to y'all about Jesus Christ. Oh, what? Go ahead, talk. We don't know nothing about no Jesus Christ. Well, you just pass on then. Brother Reynolds said, you know right real quick that the predestination is off. So you just go on. You get gone. Okay, let's read some more. Watch the reading now. Here we go to a court trial. Roll it on up till we get to there where we save time. There's no three or four gods. There's only one God. There is three attributes of God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But there are not three gods. That's heathen. See, there is only one God, and that's attributes. God the Father was in the wilderness as a pillar of fire. Old Testament, right? Yep. All right. God the Son, then God the Father created the body, which was God the Son, and lived in the Son. See, yep. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Amen. All right, what did he do? He created a body. And now look, Jesus said, I came from God and I returned to God. After his death, burial, and resurrection, he ascended back. Think about it. Without a body, God is not complete. That's the way he chose it. That's the way he made it. He designed it that way. But he's got a body. He had a body. Oh, God was. He poured into Christ. He had a body. Right. See, then when you would be looking at him and see him, as I said, standing there in glory, you're not going to see a Father over here and a Son over here and a Holy Ghost over here. No. You're going to see Jesus. But you're going to know who he is. You won't be wondering then whether a Trinity's right or this is right or that's right. You'll know that none of those things are right. And you're going to see him as he is. And the Bible says he'll have a body like unto his glorious body. All right? So then that means if he's got an eternal body in the resurrection, he went into eternity, body, spirit, soul, everything. All right? Then here we got to go that way. Our body's going to be made eternal one day.
Yes, right. Amen.
But remember, it's his body. Right. Listen to what I'm getting to. And just remember, there's no way. Now, I know I make strong statements, and you say, well, I don't know. There's no way that God can operate without you. He chose it that way.
That's right.
He made the way.
Yes.
You didn't. You didn't make the choice.
Right.
You never sought God.
That's right.
It's God seeking you, like I said. How'd you walk up to a whole crowd of people? If God don't come down in that crowd and quicken somebody's heart to lead them to him, they're just going to go on off.
Yep.
See? But if he comes down and, as Brother Moat used to say, Lord, give them that little tug. I used to listen to him say that. Lord, they ain't no better way to say it. Just give them a little tug on their heart. Because that's going to lead you to the rest of it. Right? But you understand, I'm trying to get you to see how that there's a possibility. Maybe wrong words to use, I'm sorry. A possibility of the fact that God can make manifest himself in this world as the great eternal I am, step down into human flesh, manifest himself through all of those things and ways and coming forth, and then come down to an end time to find his perfect way he wanted it. Right? Then he's happy about that. What about me and you? Are we happy? Go ahead to number four. Revelation of Jesus Christ in the Church Age book. The Bible teaches that God was in Christ. The body was Jesus. Now listen. The body was Jesus. Any problem? Well, then what's the rest? All right, listen. The body was Jesus. In him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Nothing can be plainer than that. Mystery, yes. But actual truth, it can't be plainer. So if he wasn't three people then, he can't be three now. One God, and this same God was made manifest. A flesh. A body. A body. That he could step into. Now remember, he had to step into a body in the beginning, because he wound up being the Genesis 1:26-27 man that says, let us make man in our own image. And so man was created spiritual being, right, in the image of God. Now, if that is true, then you realize all we need to change this body, we're going to be right where we put it. Would have been, if this body can get changed, we're going to be right where we should have been to start with.
Amen.
Right back to where we should have been to start with. It's all possible by him stepping into a body to be able to release that life, because there was no way to kill him. When he was walking as Almighty God, the great Jehovah, etc., there was no way to kill him. Don't you think the devil would have sure liked to have done it? But there's no way. But see, then when he stepped into flesh, Satan said, I got to change. I'm going after that body. Well, I like the way Brother Harris said it, because he was dealing with anointing. But I can just go into even in the natural. But I mean, he always had his way of saying things. And he'd say, that old devil, he said he was dumb. He said he ordered just went on somewhere else and not said nothing to the Lord Jesus. He said, because that way he would just had one to fight. He just had one Christ to fight. You remember him, how he used to make that stuff? He said, by doing it, he said there was 120 to first whack and then 3,000 outside the next point. Now he's got all these Christ, all these Jesuses that he's fighting against, that he'd been better off to let it went. But he didn't have sense enough. He still thinks he can whip it. I know what these guys do. I never went through karates or nothing like that. But see, they say, well, oh, you're never supposed to fight your mentor. Baloney. That's the guy you're going to try to whip, because if you whip him, you're greater than all the rest. Don't tell me stuff like that. I used to tell Brother Harris and the brothers, don't tell me that you'd bow down to your mentor and not fight him. That's the guy you're going after. But listen, a body. You mean, Brother Dale, do you believe that God's got a body? Yeah. Yeah. I believe he has a body. I believe he has a place to dwell. He dwells in that body. And he dwelt in that body. I'm going to read some more of these, but we're going to get on over to the back of these where it comes to the body being you. See, he's never been without a body since he developed it in the garden. However, where, you know, Jesus come forth as a natural baby that brought a body. He's never been without a body since then. As bad as we are, he still loves it. Right? Does he still put up with us? Does he still hear our prayers? Even though we're a bunch of garbage? You see, he ain't looking at the garbage. He's looking at what he said he's going to do. He said he's going to bring a body. And that's the way he's doing. But it's going to finalize in the bride. We'll get to that later. Go ahead, number five. The darkest hour then Jesus come. He's talking about the woman touching the Lord Jesus and virtue coming out. She pulled from him virtue through that human body of his. Because he was just a man. Born of a woman. But his father was God. But in his body he was a man. In his spirit he was God. So God was in Christ and the woman pulling that virtue. Believe it. But are you listening? Born of a woman, but his father was God. In his body, he was a man. In his spirit, he was God. Huh? See, a body. A human body. A 16-element body. The difference between that, the prophet had said, and your body, he said his body was virgin born. He said yours is not. Huh? Because he was a body. I believe he could have given blood transfusion. Of course, there wouldn't have been nobody in the world had that type of blood. I'm honest. I believe he was the blood of God. I kind of believe I can prove that if you got about 2 or 3 hours. With some notes. And I believe I can prove that that was the blood of God. Amen. From what your prophet had to say. Okay. Go ahead, let's go to the next one. Let's get a few more. This is from the Shreveport. Now listen. God was in his tabernacle. The Son of God. Well, you say, well, now how could he be God and be a son of God? What are you? You have the new birth? Amen. Then you're a son of God. Amen. You're a child of God. Amen. You're God in another form called a son. Amen. Same as he is. What I'm trying to get you to see is these next message or two is to try to get you to see whatever deals with him is going to deal with you.
Right.
Whatever it is for him to come to a place, it's going to be me and you going to come to that place. Amen. Because we are the people, remember, couldn't do it in Luther. They didn't have enough word. Couldn't do it in Wesley. Couldn't do it in Azusa Street Pentecost. You gotta have Malachi 4. You gotta have Luke 17:30, Revelation 10:7, etc. You gotta have all of that to come to the basis where you can talk about fullness of the Godhead bodily. Did you ever hear anybody, I'm asking you honestly to say, have you ever heard anybody outside of Brother Branham would preach the Godhead in the bride? I haven't, I don't know. Those, where's he at? All right, listen. the Son of God, which was Jesus, was the flesh of God. The flesh of God. He was where the Holy Spirit dwelt, in flesh. He was the flesh of God. He was hungry. He had to eat. He had to do. He had to sleep. He had. To, he was a human being. Well, I always thought he was the Son of God and made him some kind of a special type of a God or something. Well, just get rid of them kind of ideas because that don't fit. Because that goes into Trinitarianisms and things and that don't work.
Right.
Listen to what he's saying. The Son of God, which was Jesus, was the flesh of God, a tabernacle that God dwelt in here on the earth. And now that was Christ and God became united. See, Christ and God became united. And that's the way God could be seen. No man has seen the Father at any time, but the only begotten Son has declared him. See, in other words, God was in Christ showing his attitude towards the people. See, and what he was, what God was, he was expressing himself through Jesus, his Son. See? As he dwelt in him, making Jesus and God. Jesus being the tabernacle that God was dwelling in here on earth. A body hast thou prepared me. God dwelt in Jesus Christ, and that made the Father and the Son united together now and become the... Now, notice now, what was in Christ was the fullness of the Spirit, the entire fullness of God. God gave Christ the Spirit without measure, but he's give it like to me and you. We get it by measure. See, he was Emmanuel. Can you, I'm just serious here. I've been thinking about these things for months and, well, many really for years, trying to preach on one God. Can you just believe it? That he was Almighty God in human flesh. He was the tabernacle. He was the thing that he said, buildings I don't want. Where's that at in the Psalms, I think? Because there's two of them. One of them's in Hebrews. I think the other's in Psalms. Either that or Isaiah. But he didn't want to dwell in temples made by man's hands. He wanted to dwell in the people. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
To think one day we'll be able to walk with him through the garden.
Amen.
We'll be able to fellowship with him. We'll be able to praise him and worship. Everything will be so perfect. Won't it be something? Right. Let's get another one. Okay. Go ahead to number 7, I guess. Now, God gave Christ the Spirit without measure. Is that right? The fullness of God was in Christ. He was God Emmanuel. You know, there's no doubt in our minds of the thing. I said yesterday, the whole ocean is full, you know, water like a spoonful out of it. We know all that. Come on up, let's save time. But in Christ was the fullness of God. We have it by measure. He had it without measure. The Bible says, see, without measure, no way. He's just limited, unlimited. He had the Spirit of God. And he comes through, he wanted to use his Spirit that was in a man, the corporal body called Jesus, which was his dwelling place. The body is a tabernacle. God was dwelling in a tabernacle. He was pleased to dwell there, the Scripture says. Right? God was pleased to dwell in that tabernacle. What about when he said it about me and you? Now, you may not believe this, but I do. I believe the day he gave you the new birth, he said, I'm pleased to dwell in Ray Gabriel. Nobody else might not be pleased for these days and others, but I'm pleased. Well, you know, we got these problems. We got these troubles. That don't have nothing to do with it. Because he made us a covenant in Abraham of everything being unconditional.
Right.
Well, then I can just live like a devil and get by it. No, just don't try it.
Amen.
You're going to wind up in trouble. Don't try it.
Right.
You're going to wind up wishing you hadn't tried it. So the best thing to do is just be yourself and just be what you are and just be happy. You say, yeah, but what about this thing here? What about this? What about this money? What about all these things? So what? So what? You going to eat your money? That was life and talking about it the other day with somebody there. I said, what are you going to do when you need it? You going to take out one of them silver dollars or scrape off some silver and say, that'll pay that much? No, you're going to give the whole silver dollar. You know, that'd be the only way you get to pay for anything. Well, you see, church, we're not making light of nobody. We're all just we do our things. But yet still we need to be all time thinking about what he wants done. He wants to dwell in you. Oh, brother Al Canard, he used to tell me, he said, Brother Dale, I woke up last night at 3 o'clock. I said, he said, I just got up and prayed. I said, you pray for me? Yeah. I said, Lord, wake him up at 2 o'clock. I wanted him to wake him up earlier where he could pray for me. Because I want somebody to pray for me. And when I was laying up there in that hospital and everything, you know, for 5 days and thinking, what in the world am I doing here and when am I going to get out? Well, then the word would come through, said, everybody's praying for you around the world. We got you on the internet here. We got you there. We got you on this. We got you on that. I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're going to make it through.
Amen.
Well, we made it.
Amen.
See? But do you understand what I'm trying to get at? Let me read a couple more because I know I ain't going to be able to get to it. But I want you to think till maybe next Sunday, whatever. I want you to think about what Brother Branham is saying. I believe that in his body was a man. He was born of a woman just like us. But his blood was not our blood, you know, from a woman. It was of God. His soul, he was God. You just think, walking on the shores of Galilee was Almighty God in a human vessel. But they could never touch him. Until that anointing left him, he could not be touched. Well, I happen to know where there's a quote says that the anointing is on the bride. The fullness of the Godhead bodily is in the bride. I happen to know where those are at. And I happen to believe them. We say, well, I believe this, that, and the other, what the prophet said. Well, why not believe all he said? Then for just a minute now, God tabernacled. As I said, he didn't want to sit back here in a building. And you come in and worship him and do. He didn't want you to run it up and down and all. He wanted you just to be his children. What about being a child of God? What about being a child of Almighty God? A human being capable of being a child of God. Well, we got to remember, he started off becoming a child of God. He said, but I don't understand how that you can say that he was God in flesh. Well, I'd like for you to explain how it could be any other way. He was Almighty God in human flesh. And there was no way to touch him until that anointing left him. I believe your prophet said it like this. After the door of the Gentile church is closed, God will anoint a bride or church then and said, he'll do what theologians or theologians have tried to do in 2000, years, in other words. He said, but he's doing it now. He's pouring in his self. You say, yeah, we got the new birth. Yeah, but there's a whole lot more to be poured in. Look at it. Stature of a perfect man, faith, virtue, knowledge, temper, patience, God. Brother Reynolds said, that's the man God wants to live in. I've got the quotes laying right here. That's the man God wants to live in, is the stature of a perfect man. Well, I just don't see how we can do it. Now, the problem is you're doubting that God can do it. Don't doubt him.
Amen.
Just accept it.
Amen.
You know, accept him.
Yes,
your children, just accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Just say, Lord, help me. Come in and save me. Just save my soul, Lord. I want to be right. And see, then he'll take care of a lot of things. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, I believe the prophet is right when he said God didn't send a second person. He came himself. So as a Son of God, he just came down that great eternal, stepped right in that body. Is not that exactly what he done in the garden with Adam? He breathed into his nostrils the breath of eternal life, blasphemous names, and he became a Son of God with eternal life. That's why you couldn't kill him. You couldn't kill Adam. He was a child of God. We talk about that Sarah, he couldn't kill Sarah. Why? Because she was in Abraham. Well, why can't you think that we was in him? He can't do anything to me and you until he's through with us. Why? Are you worried about these things and all? No. Concerned? Yeah, because we're human. Right. Okay. No problem. Concerned. Mainly concerned with the basis of wondering what's going to take place. But we're being told and set in stages even to what? That we've got the woman in the White House. Your prophet saw that 50 years ago or something, but it's finally come to pass. Well, I don't have no problems with her. I wouldn't shoot her. I wouldn't have no problems with her. I'd talk to her about the Lord if I could. You know. But you understand, see. A body 2,000 years ago was produced by a virgin birth. God didn't send a son to dwell in a son that would make a son. No, he come and stepped into the body. And that's why he's called a Son of God. Because he stepped into the body. He ain't called a Son of God because he was another person. You're going back to your Trinitarianism. Mm-mm. He stepped into that body. And God said, I'm pleased to dwell. Hear ye him. I thought we was looking forward to those things. I thought those were the things the prophet told us would be coming. But Brother Dale, you've always done it. You've always tried to make everything so far away. I ain't never made nothing far away. I've made it too close, I guess. I ain't never tried to preach nothing far away. And I preached in 1969 in Athens, Georgia, that the bride of Jesus Christ would be the Son of Man in the last days. I can still produce those quotes because they're written in the front of my Bible. I wasn't telling nobody what I thought. I was telling people what the prophet said. You know that he can't be a son? You ever notice this statement that Brother Brown said that God couldn't be a son without the Son of Man? You want that statement? Couldn't be a son without a son of man. That would make him a father. You realize that he created me and you? A new creation in the new birth. Not created us anything else, but a new creation in a new birth. Makes you and us, you and all of us, the children of God. The Son of Man is the Word made flesh. The bride will be the Word made flesh. But do we believe it? Do we believe it? Can we accept it that we are the children of God? Can we accept, as Paul said in Mars Hill? He said, some of your poets and all have said that we are the offspring of God. He said, that's right. He said, that's what we are. And when they said to Jesus, he said, what are you doing? You killing me for what? They said, we're killing you because you're a man making yourself a God. He said, is that not what your word says? You call them sons that the word comes to. And said, all I've ever done is brought you the word. Right? Think on these things. Think about what God has made you and me. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We didn't have anything to do with it. We didn't call ourselves. We didn't guide ourselves. It was him guiding us. You say, yeah, but Brother Dale, I cried, I prayed, I sought God. Yeah. That was the natural. That's all right. That's a good to it. But it was really him searching for you. Because the Bible says the goodness of God leadeth us to repentance. So if you want any repentance, you got to get the goodness of God, the leading of God to you and I, the drawing, the pulling. Come on, musician. What do we got? Jesus, the flesh, was a man. Inside of that man was an eternal God. Right? What is it in you? Like I've always tried to get you to see, we talk about the tree of life being in the garden. Oh, wonderful. What if sin hadn't entered the picture? We would have went to the tree of life and been made eternal all through. Because our soul wasn't eternal. I mean, Adam's soul was eternal, Adam and Eve, but not us. All right. And see, what do you think is taking place now? Amen. You receive the new birth. Your soul is made eternal. You're waiting the redemption of the body. Amen. And he's working through the spirit realm of memory, reason, conscience, affections, etc. Through the stature of a perfect man, faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience. Through adoption, through all of these things that the prophet has taught us. But what we do is, like a brother told me one day, we was talking about stature of perfect man and adoption. He said, now if I cross it up, which one he used, but he said, that adoption is simple. We said, that stature of perfect man is deep. I just walked away. It's the same thing. The stature of a perfect man is the message of adoption. But yet he thought that answered the question. No, it just showed how far off we had missed it. See? The seals is for the bringing these things into you and I. The opening of God's word all the way through. What do we got, brother? Go ahead. Let's stand.
Let's sing that little song.
Brother Wade be ministering this afternoon. Brother Bob be ministering Wednesday. Pray one for another.
Oh, he touched me.
Oh,
he touched me.
And
oh, the joy that floods my soul. Because
something happened and now
touch me.
and made me whole. Anybody have a need? The altar's open.
Oh, I was shackled by a heavy burden. And me.
How many of you remember Sister Dover used to sing that?
And she.
Brother Mike and them, that was her song.
The hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same.
He put a tug on my heart, and that brought me to Him.
Oh, He touched me.
Now let me walk with Him. Make some plans away ahead of time. And he realized this coming 4th of July. The 4th day of July is on Sunday. That's 50 years from the day we started this church in this building. We were down at the house a week before. But that was the first time we met in the building right here. You remember the car come down, hit every one of our cars, tore them all up. Total loss, Brother Moulton and mine. That evening we came back. Some of us had to drive crippled because we'd been beat up. But we're still here. Serving the same God. Believing Him. Seeing Him make manifest.
Oh, He touched me. And something happened, and now I know He touched me.
Father, we thank You for today and the time that You've allowed us to come together in fellowship. We've tried to express a little thought, Lord, as to try to direct us all into the line of understanding that one day You step down in a human body. The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelled in a human man. That man was virgin born. That man wasn't just something that was picked out or sent some way. It was the very God of glory that came Himself to step down among us and just dwell with us. Forgive us of our many sins, Father, and cover us. Cleanse us by Your loving grace. Go with us as we go eat a natural meal. Bring us back together this afternoon for the word of the Lord. We love You and we thank You. Bless the people that are sick among us, the different things. Lord, just touch each one. Just guide us all in Thy grace in Jesus' name. You dismiss. Amen.
Something happened and now